I was reminded this morning with the prayers for those that have given their life for this country and for the cause of Christ, of a portion of a testimony that I heard this week while I was driving, and I came in on kind of the middle of it. I'd never heard this story before. I didn't get the missionary's name. But it was a recent event. Missionary, a Christian that had gone into North Korea. And he had gone in with some others, endeavoring to be an encouragement to Christians and pastors in North Korea. Humanly speaking, he made the mistake of leaving an email up on his laptop in his hotel room. And in the email, he stated his hope and prayer was that the Lord would allow him to be an encouragement to brothers and sisters in Christ who were living in North Korea. North Koreans came in, confiscated the laptop, put him on trial, and he was sentenced to 15 years of hard labor in a North Korean prison camp. And he shared the testimony after he got out that one day, one of his guards, who was particularly obnoxious, scorning him and mocking his face, said to him one day, "How can you believe God loves you? A God who would allow you to be in a prison camp like this in North Korea." He said, "I have no problem believing God's love. Because if it wasn't for God's love, I wouldn't be here and in the position to share Christ with you." You'll notice the title that I've chosen for the message in our study this morning is Appreciating God's Will. With some thought, I chose the word appreciating. I thought about accepting God's will. I also thought about embracing God's will. But I took the time to look at the definition of accepting God's will. And here are some dictionary definitions of the term accepting. Accepting God's will. Recognizing the worth of God's will. To grasp the nature, quality, or significance of God's will. To be grateful and thankful for God's will. Our Christian faith is inseparable to God's Word. What you believe should be based upon what the Bible teaches. We grow in our faith as our knowledge of God's Word increases. Therefore, our thinking is influenced and changed as we come to understand God and His ways through the Bible. Because of this, your attitude or outlook can be changed for better through your understanding of God's Word. Typically, people interpret the state of their life or their condition of their life based upon the way they interpret their circumstances. That is the reason we're so familiar with terms like bad luck, bad news, bad day. The person that is using those terms is viewing their luck, their day, the news, based upon their circumstances. Well, this morning in our series on what is God's will for my life, I'm going to explain from the Bible why you can have peace regardless of the circumstances you're going through. If I were to rate the importance of understanding the Bible truth we're going to be looking at this morning on a scale of 1 to 10, I would put this message as a 10. This is one of the things that every Christian needs to learn and believe. And the sooner you do, the better off you will be. Learning to appreciate God's will for your life. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time that we have together. Thank you for the wonderful blessing that this service has already been. The reminder of your goodness in song. And the fact that even though we can't see, we don't understand, we still have the ability to trust you. Father, speak to hearts this morning. Might your truth be established in hearts today and believed, embraced, appreciated. And we'll be thankful for we pray. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. Just one rather short verse. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse number 18. God's Word says, in everything give thanks. Notice, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. In everything gives thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Notice the way this verse begins. Paul says, in everything give thanks. In other words, he's saying, whatever circumstances you find yourself in, give thanks. Why? Well, he tells us, because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. I mean, this is a very personal admonition that God expects every single one of us to take personally and apply to our life. The clear implication of this verse is the in that you find yourself in. Your natural response to that situation would not be to be thankful for it. But we're being admonished by God that regardless of the situation, in everything we should give thanks. Because this is the will of God for us personally in Christ Jesus. Have you ever heard a preacher say, This verse says, in everything give thanks. It doesn't say, for everything give thanks. Well, let me say this. I don't know how you can come to that conclusion if you really think about what this verse is saying. This is not saying that simply we give thanks for our circumstances. It's saying that we need to be thankful for the very thing that is happening in our life. Now, if you question that, turn, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 5. Because Ephesians 5 is a companion passage to this. And it is the Apostle Paul that is being used as an inspired penman here. You know, I was thinking, because I know how astute some of you are, and I know the sticklers you can be theologically. But I was thinking about a statement that I made in my introduction. I just wonder if any of you murmured anything under your breath. This is what I said. Our Christian faith is inseparable to God's Word. What you believe should be based upon what the Bible teaches. Here's the sentence. We grow in our faith as our knowledge of God's Word increases. And I wonder if any of you said, well, yes, Pastor, that's true, but technically, it's not just our knowledge of God's Word that increases our faith, but we have to practice what God's Word says in order for our faith to be increased. Hey, newsflash, I know as much as you do. If you've heard me preach any time, you know that that's what I believe. But my point is, sometimes we say things that are correct, but we don't say everything that could have been said about it. You with me? So Paul in 1 Thessalonians says, in everything give thanks. Okay, then the same man is going to say something else a little further in Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 20. Ephesians 5 and verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here, what God tells us is God wants you and I to give thanks to Him, to appreciate every circumstance we find ourselves in, and to do it in the name of Jesus. Because what we are going through, God is personally allowing to take place in our life. I would ask you, is this a fair representation of these two verses of Scripture? I mean, do you feel, based upon what you've just heard and what you've just seen, that I've handled the Word of God correctly? Okay, this is what God commands us to do. This is what God commands you to do. And this is the outlook that people of faith have on their circumstances. But here's the question. Why can I be thankful in everything and for everything? Why can you be thankful? Why should you be thankful? Why does God want you to be thankful in every circumstance you face, for every circumstance you face? And you understand, God would not have to say any more. I mean, do you remember there were times when your children were growing up that they would say to you, you'd tell them to do something and they'd say to you, why? Okay? And your response is, because I'm the adult, you're the child, and I told you to do it. Now look, sometimes you're wise as a parent if you explain the reason behind it. But listen, there's other times that you're discerning enough to know that your child is just trying to find a loophole in the clause and do an end run, and the only proper response is, I told you to do so, and I'm the adult, and I expect you to do it. End of discussion. Doesn't God have the right just to tell us what to do without any explanation? And to say, if we would say why, for him to say, because I'm God and you're not. Okay, but look, God understands our frame. He remembers that we're dust. He wants us to understand the reason for our faith. He wants to equip us in such a way that when others ask the why, we can give them solid biblical reasons why God has said this. Okay, let me show you why you can trust God with every circumstance that you're in. And not only trust Him, why He expects you to be thankful for it, and you can be. Okay, number one, because God is sovereign and has allowed our circumstances. God is sovereign and has allowed our circumstances. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to the Old Testament book of Job. Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. The Bible says, then Satan answered the Lord, verse number 9, Job chapter 1. Then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught, for no reason? Has not thou made a hedge about him and about his house? And about all that he hath on every side. And thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Okay, now get what Satan's complaint is. He says, of course, Job serves you. Because you have put a wall around him. You put a hedge around him. You've put a wall around his house. You've put a wall around his material blessings. And then on top of that, God, not only have you isolated and protected these things, you have blessed everything within the hedge. Verse number 11, put forth thy hand now. Touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy faith. And the Lord said unto Satan, behold, all that he hath is in thy power. Only upon himself put not forth thy hand. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord. Satan's lament was, I can't get to him. But if I could, if I took what he has away, then you would see he'd curse you to your face. And you know what God did? He dropped the hedges. He dropped all of the hedges except one. The hedge that was around Job's physical life. And you know the story. Job lost it all. And did he curse God? No, the Bible says at the end of chapter 1, he worshiped. He said, I came into the world naked, I'll go out of the world naked. Bless is the name of the Lord. Look, if you would, at Job chapter 2, just over a page. Job 2. This is the second attack. Job 2, verses 4 through 7, Satan answered the Lord and said, skin for skin. Yea, all that a man hath will he give for his life. Put forth thy hand now and touch his bone and his flesh, and he will curse thee to thy face. I mean, the only thing left he had was his life. And Satan knows God's not going to let him take his life, so he says, you let me physically afflict him. You drop that hedge and allow me to touch his body and he will curse you to your face. Verse number 6, the Lord said unto Satan, behold, he is in thy hand, but save his life. So Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils, serious boils, from the sole of his foot unto the crown, unto his crown, the crown of his head. You see, God dropped another hedge. He dropped the hedge of his physical health. He said, you can't touch his life, you can't take his life, but I'll let you touch his flesh and I'll prove to you that's not the way it is. Folks, here's the point. This chapter teaches us that Satan can't get to the child of God unless God allows it. Were Job's circumstances, would we describe them as being negative? Yes, we would. But God was the one that allowed them into Job's life, and they were allowed in for a reason. So here's the point. If you are facing circumstances that you wish you weren't, here's what you need to understand. God allowed you to be in the circumstances that you're in. And you know what God expects of you? To recognize that and to bow your head and say, Lord, thank you for the circumstances that you've allowed me to be in. You say, how can a person do that? Only one way. By faith. By trust in God. Okay, number two. There's a second reason that we can be thankful for all things. It's this. Because we know, according to God's word, God loves us. Because we know, according to God's word, that God loves us. Two passages from the Old Testament book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 31:3 and Jeremiah 29:11. Let me read these. Jeremiah 31:3. The Lord hath appeared of old unto me, saying, yea, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. To give you an expected end. What you are going through, Job, might appear to be evil, but I have an expected end for you. And the thoughts that I have towards you are not evil, they are thoughts of peace. That line in Caroline's song, God is too loving to what? Be unkind. Whoever wrote that song has an understanding of the very thing we're talking about this morning. When you face circumstances that are overwhelming, that appear to be negative, you remember this. You can thank God for them because you know God loves you. And if He has allowed them, it's a testament of His love. Number three, the third reason you can thank God in everything and for everything is because God is using your circumstances for your good. God is using your circumstances for your good. Look, if you would, Romans 8:28. Romans 8:28. Now, I know that probably three quarters of you have got this verse pretty well to memory. But you need to remember what it was like to be a young Christian. You need to remember what it was like the first time you saw this verse and just the impact that it had on you. God makes no bones about this. He's not vague about this. Romans 8:28. The Word of God says, and we know. How do we know this? Because it's taught all over the Bible. And we know that all things work together for good. To them that love God, to them who are called according to His purpose. All things. Obviously, the implication is it's talking about the bad things as well as the good things. That's the way we would describe them. And it doesn't make any difference what the things are. All of them work together for good. Good in the life of the individual that loves God and is called according to His purpose. He's got a plan in it. He's got a purpose for it. And it's for your good. Number four. Fourth reason you can trust God with your circumstances and be thankful for them is because God uses our circumstances to teach us. God uses our circumstances to teach us. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Psalm 119. King David, the sweet shepherd of Israel. David, who is said by God to be a man after His own heart, like the Apostle Paul was in the New Testament. David experienced some really tough circumstances in his life. Some that he was innocent in. Others that were the consequence of his own foolishness. But you need to understand this, regardless of how our circumstances come, whether they're imposed upon us in our innocence, like in the case of Job, or whether they end up being the consequences of our foolishness, God is still sovereign over them. And Romans 8:28, still true. And look what David says in Psalm 119, verses 67 and 68. Psalm 119, 67. David says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. But now have I kept thy word." Verse 68, "Thou art good and dost good. Teach me thy statutes." Before I was afflicted. Who allowed the affliction in David's life? God. And David says, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray. I was headed down the wrong path." But he says, "Now, through my affliction, I have kept thy word." If that's not clear, look, if you would, at Psalm 119, verse 71. Psalm 119, 71. "It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes." Here's a statement of faith. Can you agree with David? It's good for me that I've been afflicted. David would say, "Because through my affliction, I have learned things that God wanted to teach me that I could only learn through affliction." Do you understand these reasons? Any one of them, a series of messages could be preached on. I mean, these are not isolated statements that God teaches us for affliction. As I'm sharing this and as I was studying this week, I had to discipline myself to keep it to one verse. To keep it to two verses, because it's all over the Bible. Number five. The fifth reason you can thank God. In everything and for everything is because God disciplines us through our circumstances. We can be thankful because God disciplines us through our circumstances. Turn, if you would, to Hebrews chapter 12. Now, you need to understand, biblically, discipline is more than just taking a kid to the woodshed. Okay, if you want something a little bit more sophisticated than that, discipline is more than capital punishment or corporal punishment. There's a small difference, like death. Okay, discipline... Proper discipline has with it instruction, teachings and warning of consequences, and then when rules are broken, when instruction is not followed, the consequences are experienced. Being the father of four daughters, I heard all sorts of things said to me when the girls were growing up. One of the things that would be a reoccurring theme would be something like, I could never be a father of daughters. Because I would look at their pretty little faces and I'd never be able to spank them. Let me tell you that. I got over that real quick. You know what? And not one time in all the years of Wanda's and my parenting and discipline and corporal punishment, taking them to the woodshed, not one time in the midst of the spanking did those girls look up at me or Wanda and say, "Thanks, Dad, I needed that." But you know what? Now, when they're in their 30s, every single one of them would not hesitate to say, "Thank you for disciplining us, because we have seen how people our age live and act when they didn't have a parent that disciplined us." Look, if you would, at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews 12, verses 5 through 7. Paul says, "Ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourges or whips every son whom he receiveth. If ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chasteneth not?" Look at verse number 11. "Now no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Here it is. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." You know what God's doing through your circumstances that you're struggling in? He's exercising you. Sometimes people have said to me, "Pastor, why am I going through this?" You know what Hebrews 12, the answer of Hebrews chapter 12 would be? Because you need to. Now I realize I have to be tactful when I say it that bluntly. But all you've got to do is look at the circumstances you're in. Look at the way you're responding to the circumstances. And it'll answer the question why you're going through it. Because if you're murmuring and complaining, if you're pouting and you're mad, if you're talking about how unfair life is, that's the very reason you're being disciplined. Because you haven't come to the point yet that you're willing to look at God and say, "Okay, Lord, I don't understand it, but I trust you. I trust you." And understand this, after the discipline, what Paul says is, after the discipline, it yields. It produces the faithful work of holiness in your life. You become more Christ-like. Number 6, turn if you would to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, the sixth reason you can rejoice, be thankful for and in your circumstances, regardless of what they are. you will be faithfully rewarded by God. Look, this life is not all there is. Think about what God's people have gone through, what some people have suffered physically in this life. If God is just, God will compensate for what people endure as Christians. Look at Paul's statement in 2 Corinthians. Verse number 16. 2 Corinthians 4, verse number 16. For this cause, for which cause, we faint not. We don't give up. We don't quit. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Isn't that the case? Yeah, the problem we struggle with as believers when we get older is we're fine inside. We've got strength and vitality inside. It's just the fact that our body's not cooperating with us anymore. The inward man is renewed day by day, given strength day by day. The outward man perish. Verse number 17, for our light affliction. God said that, I didn't. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hey, look, you need to trust God with the temporal, believing that He will not be a debtor to anyone eternally. I mean, you think of Christians that have John the Baptist, a ministry that only lasted 6 months. He died before he was 31 years old. His life was cut more than in half. You think God won't reward him for his faithfulness in eternity? And it's true with you. So yes, the circumstances might be difficult. The last verse of the song has not yet been sung. Wait till you get to heaven. Number 7 and last. Turn, if you would, to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The 7th reason that you can rejoice, be thankful for and in every circumstance, knowing that this is God's will for your life, is because God's grace will be experienced through your circumstances. God's grace will be experienced. It's wonderful to find yourself in a situation that you look back and you say, the only way I made it through this, the only way I came out on the other side and still am close to God and have got a good attitude is because of the grace of God. Because it was hard. Look at Paul's statement in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 8 through 10. He says, for this thing I besought the Lord three times, that it might depart from me. So Paul had a physical infirmity that three times he asked the Lord to take it away, that it might depart from him. And he, the Lord, said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in in weakness. Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ might rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I'm strong. What Paul is saying, what I learned from this principle that God said no regarding the removing of my circumstances, but said to me, my grace is sufficient for you in your circumstances. He says, what I learned from this principle is I can apply it to every area of my life. If I'm being reproached, if I have needs, if I'm being persecuted, if I find myself in distress for Christ's sake, I can trust God knowing that He will give me sufficient grace, and His grace will sustain me. Folks, we need to understand how privileged we are as Christians. Because as I said in my introduction, our knowledge of what God's Word teaches and our faith in God's Word affects our thinking. What would move a person from the attitude of the world, bad luck, bad day, bad news, to a position of faith where I would say, I wouldn't choose this, but God has allowed it. He's allowed it for a reason. I need it. There are things I can learn through it. And if I trust Him, I'll experience His grace. This is something I can be thankful for, something that I can be thankful in. That is uniquely the experience of the child of God. Do you understand a lost person doesn't even know about these things? Do you understand a lost person, what they go through virtually is wasted on them? Read the book of Proverbs. There's no benefit for what a fool goes through. But for the child of God, everything we go through has a purpose, a divine orchestration that God intends to better us in time and eternity. Satan's such a liar. You probably remember what it was like if you got saved as an adult. Because many of us drug our feet to trust Christ. You know, instead of rushing to trust Christ, when we heard the gospel, We held back and, you know, we just weren't convinced and we're thinking, what is this going to cost me? And I'm not sure if this is a good idea. And all of that straight from the pit of hell. Because when you realize who Jesus Christ is, when you realize how good He has been to us, how much He loves us, how His Word has been intended to bless us, then it'd be a case that a lost person, when they hear the gospel, they'd knock the preacher down, running to the altar to trust Christ. Listen to me. Don't waste your life because of foolishness. You're a sinner. You know that. And God says you're going to be eternally separated from Him because of your sin. That should scare the bejeebers out of you. An eternity lost, needlessly. Because 2,000 years ago, the Son of God became a man to die for you personally. He faced the sin and the death that you deserve, and He paid its price in full. Amen. Triumphing over it in His resurrection. And He says, whosoever cometh to Me, I'll in no wise cast out. He says, if you believe in Me, I'll give you eternal life. How can that not be a great thing? But yet, lost people would say, oh, I don't know. You know, if I become a Christian, I don't think I'm going to be happy. I lost people are some of the most miserable people in the world. You remember all the things you tried to do to be happy? And the very reason you got saved is all of them left you empty. You need to try a new plan. Trust Christ. And this morning would be a good morning to do that. Let's bow our heads. Father, we're thankful this morning for the truth, the simple, clear truth of Your Word. We're looking at the subject of Your will for our life. And we've seen this morning that Your will is for us to be thankful in the name of Jesus for all things and everything that we face. It is a faith choice that You say that we can make and should make. And I pray that across this auditorium the decision would be made to make it. And Lord, I pray for those, whether watching online or here, that know they need to trust You as their Savior and sin bearer. They need to experience Your salvation and allow You to become the Lord of their life. I pray they would, even this morning. We are here to help them, to pray with them. We want to help them the way someone helped us. We ask that by Your Spirit You would draw them. For we pray and ask this of You in Jesus' name. Amen.